I love the Word of God. I'm always so excited to spend time with God in His Word and to be able to be privileged to also share with others that what God is speaking, that what God has been speaking throughout the ages, and that what God is still speaking to this very day. And I want to start off this morning again with one of my favorite passages. It's found in John chapter 1 from verse 1. That speaks about the Word of God and the power and significance of the Word of God that we sometimes take so for granted. Here in John chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." And then in verse 14, "Then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And it's so powerful that, you know, you cannot separate the Word from Christ, because Christ is the Word and the Word is Christ. The one is God spoken throughout eternity that created everything in the other, and with that also became the incarnated Word, which is Christ. And so many times people try to separate the Word of God from Christ, but Christ is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Christ. It is the one that has been manifested to us so that we can know who the Father is. That is the purpose of the Word of God. The purpose of the Word of God has always been to manifest, to declare, to reveal who the Father is. And we see it from the created Word when God said, "Let there be." Everything that was created through the Word. God spoke and it was. And not only through the created Word was God revealed to us, not only does the universe declare His majesty, it is the written Word that was given to us that declares who God is, that reveals who the Father is. And then we see the incarnated Word that lived amongst us, that we could see ourselves, the fullness of who God is. And in this very one short passage, we see five things about the Word of God. We see five things about Christ. Christ is God. Christ is the Word of God. Everything was made through Him. And in Him is life. And that life is like light that shines into the darkness. And darkness cannot overcome it. So the Word Christ shines into the darkness in our fallen, broken world that has been so distorted by sin that we can no longer recognize and know God, because in this darkness, in this fallen world, in the sinful world that is so controlled by the things in the world and the lust of the things in the world and our sinful nature that is so selfish, it inhibits us to know and recognize who God is. And then God spoke into that. Christ came into the darkness to reveal to us who He is. So the purpose of the Word of God is to reveal the Father to us, that it is so that we have become so conditioned by the world and the things in this world and our sinfulness and our selfishness that it is so difficult to see who God is. And then God speaks into the midst of that to reveal Himself to us. But the Word of God is so different to what we understand and experience that we place our experience and our limited understanding above the Word of God. We've been trained so long by what we experience and know in this world, we are so limited by what we can see and taste and feel, that this what we hear, this what we see, this what we experience in this world becomes far more than the Word of God. This led me to ask a few weeks ago, who is your teacher? Who is the one that you follow? Is it your experience? Is it your understanding? Or is it Christ, the Word of God? It's a very important question. Christ is the living Word of God. Today, I trust that you are not here because of me. I trust that you are here because you are hungry for the Word of God. That you have come to receive His Word, not the words of man. Because that is what gives life. Not what I can give you, but what God can give you. In John 6, verse 26, Jesus says something so powerful. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Isn't that so powerful? Jesus speaks to us and He says, do not labor for food that perishes. He's speaking about two different kinds of foods we labor for. One that is perishing, one that is found in this world, one that is temporal. And then there's another type of food that is from Christ that leads to eternal life. And He challenges us that we should not labor for what is perishable, but we should labor for what He gives. And the food that He gives leads to eternal life. So the first question we need to ask ourselves, what is food? What is this food that Jesus speaks about? Well, food is something that we well know. Food is something that we consume. Something that we eat to satisfy a hunger in us. It is a natural hunger in us that needs to be satisfied. So we eat food to satisfy us, to sustain us, to give us life. And Jesus says, do not labor for food that is perishable, but labor for food that I will give you that will lead to eternal life. Not just temporal life. Remember John chapter 1 that I read earlier. Jesus says, the Word of God declares that He's not just God, but that in Him is life. The Word of God is life. Not just everything was created through Him, but in Him is life. And this life is the light of men that shines into the darkness. And Jesus is saying, don't spend your labor. Don't pursue that what is perishable, but pursue that what I give you that will lead you to eternal life. So the question this morning is, what are you hungry and thirsty for? What is the hunger in you that needs to be satisfied? Because Jesus says, don't labor for what perishes, but labor for what I give you. You see, what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you labor for. It will determine what you're pursuing. So what are the things that you're hungry and thirsty for? That will determine what you labor for. I remember when I was a young man, and I know some of you here today, you come from far off. There's some of you coming from Gansbaai and Claymont, and there's some of you coming from Horsten and Swelichle, and there's some of you coming from just around the corner. But what are the things that you're laboring for? I remember the first time I realized this was when I was a young Christian, and I was in YWAM on a farm 10 kilometers outside of Worcester, and another 5 kilometers with gravel road to this farm outside that community. And you know what? I was hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. And every Sunday morning, I woke up at 5, and I started to walk 5 kilometers along a gravel road so that I can get to a secondary road. And then I started to hitchhike so that I can get to Worcester. And when I got to Worcester, I had to walk through the town to get to the N2. And then I started to hitchhike from the N2 so that I can get to Stellenbosch so that I can make the morning service. And every single morning I was there on time because there was a hunger and thirst in me for the Word of God. And I labored for it. And you know what? I'm satisfied. It satisfied me. And every time the service ended, I started that entire journey back and I made it back for dinner so that I could feed my flesh. But it satisfied me. You see, that what you hunger and thirst for will determine what you labor for. And Jesus says, do not labor for what is perishing, but labor for what I give you. Because that will lead you to eternal life. And then He continues here in verse 28. Then He said to them, what shall we do? The people ask Him when Jesus speaks about this word that He will give, this food that He will give that leads to eternal life. And the obvious question when Jesus speaks to people is, Jesus, you're speaking about this food that will lead to eternal life. How do we get this? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Therefore, they said to Him, in response to this, what sign shall you perform then that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then he said, they said to him, Lord, give us this bread that you speak about. Isn't it beautiful how Jesus draws them in? I love the way Jesus speaks. I love how he answers the questions that people have, but he actually goes far deeper. He actually cuts right to the heart. And he waits for them. He leads them to this point where they ask him, but Lord, this food that you speak about that comes from God, that gives life, give this to us. What is this bread that gives life to the world? Now, I want to ask you a question. When these words were spoken by Jesus, they did not have the New Testament as we have it today. And Jesus speaks about this word. He speaks about this bread. He speaks about this food that leads to eternal life. Who of you know what was Jesus speaking about? When he speaks about this bread that has come down to give life. He was speaking about himself, wasn't he? He was speaking about himself. He was speaking about Christ, the Son of God. How do you know that? Let me help you. The reason we know what that meant is because we kept on reading, didn't we? The very thing that declared the meaning of the word, the meaning of the bread of life, is the word of God. The revelation came through the word of God. It is through what Jesus said, what he continued to say. It is through our reading of the word of God that we know today, when we hear the words, I am the bread of life, we know exactly what this means. Because we have been exposed to the Word of God. The mystery has been revealed to us through the Word. And then here in verse 35, Jesus continues, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. When they ask him, where, how can we get this bread? Give us this bread that you speak about that leads to eternal life. How can we get it? Where can we find it? And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. How powerful is that? He who comes to me shall never hungry, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. They ask him, give us this bread, and Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. But yet you have seen me, and you do not believe. Christ is not speaking of a natural hunger and thirst when he says that he who eats and he who comes to me will never hunger and never thirst. He's speaking about something that will sustain you, something that will satisfy you, no matter what the circumstances that you face in this life. It is something that cannot be described. It can only be experienced in the revelation and knowing of who he is. It's not a natural hunger and thirst that Jesus is speaking about when he says that what I give you, you will never hunger and thirst. He's speaking about something else that will satisfy you, that will sustain you in the midst of this world. This is what I love about my work. This is what I love about doing what I'm doing, because it doesn't matter what your circumstances is. It doesn't matter what you are facing. It doesn't matter the storm. It doesn't matter the sickness. It doesn't matter the uncertainty. It doesn't matter the hopelessness that you face. What I love about my work is I can give you the way to find the source of life. I can point you to where you will find all the answers. I can point you to where you will find your sustainability. You will find your life. You will find your substance. You will find the very thing that will produce life within you. That's what I love about what I'm doing. Because Christ is life. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter the challenges you face. It doesn't matter the uncertainty. It doesn't matter about the report that you get or not get. Christ is the source of life. And if you find him, you will never, ever hunger and thirst again. No matter what you're going through. There is a path that leads to life. That path leads to Christ, who is the life. And there's nothing more fulfilling in this life to see people meet Jesus. There's nothing more fulfilling to see people meet the source of life. There's nothing more fulfilling when you're lost and in a storm and you have no direction to go to, that you find this path that leads to where Christ is. There's nothing more fulfilling to see somebody who is blind and lost and uncertain, to show them the way and see them walk it, knowing they're going to find him, and then watching to see what happens when they do. Nothing is the same again. Nothing is the same again. And the way to God, the path, is the Word of God. If you want to know how to find God, if you want to know where the source of life is, the path to finding him is the Word. When you're lost and you need direction, go to the Word. This is the path that leads to the source of life. I love it. You know, in nature, I know from time to time just to go off in nature. And especially as a young man, I used to do it often. I'd take a pocket knife and a poncho and a sleeping bag, and I would just go into the wilderness. I love spending time in nature. I love the whole unpredictability, yet there is so much that you know that you can follow in nature that will give you life when you need it. And I love being there all on my own with God. And even now when I'm older, from time to time, I sneak away into the mountains. And one of the things that I've learned, that if you're thirsty and you're looking for water and there's nowhere to be found, you know what you do? You look for the paths. You look for the trails the animals make. You find the trails, because all the trails eventually lead to water. It's like dusk when the sun is setting. Just follow the animals, because they're all going to the water. There's this path that you find in nature, in the wilderness, that is well trodden out by all the animals, that goes to the same place. They go to the source of life. You know, in my heart, there is a path that is well trodden out. Whenever I face challenges and uncertainty, there's a path that I follow. This path always leads to the source. This path is the Word of God. It's well trodden now. You find it if you look. In nature, it's beautiful. I must admit, I grew up in the rainforest, so water was never hard to find. But it was always so interesting to find these little paths. They always lead there. That's what I love about the Word of God. It's not that these letters have powerful. It's not that these letters has power in itself. But these words, they lead to Christ. And when you find Christ, these words become alive. And they become powerful. It's not the words in itself, but whom they lead to, that gives power to them. And it's only when you find him that this becomes alive. But this will always lead you there. So follow it. If you have these words, but you do not have Christ, these words become lifeless. You can have this book, you can study it from the beginning to the end, but if you have not Christ, these things become powerless, lifeless. And people start to change it, reinterpret it, lose faith in it, because they have the Word, but they don't have the source, which is Christ, which is the living Word. This leads us to him. But you know what is the greatest challenge in my position? When I try to help people who faces all kinds of challenges and storms in their life and uncertainties. And the greatest challenge is found what we just read in verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. God has given us the Word of God so that we can have life. And so many people, even though they have the Word of God, they do not believe. People do not believe Christ. They do not believe his words. They want the life that he has, but they don't want to follow his path. We want this place of being satisfied. We want this place to be full. This people cry out to Jesus, give us this bread that leads to eternal life. But they didn't believe him. They didn't want to follow his way. Christ says, this is the way. And we so many times say, this cannot be the way. We have been trained by this world for so long. We have been controlled by it for so long, by our sinful nature, that the word is foreign to us. It's contrary to us. It makes no sense to us. And we struggle to accept it. Our experience in this fallen world counts far much more. We value our limited understanding more than the wisdom of God. We allow that what we experience to train us and not the word of God. And God says, you know, this is so powerful in Matthew 4. You know, we all know it so well. I don't have it there. Maybe I should read it to you. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread. Remember that? Jesus answered and said to them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Do not labor for the bread that perishes, but for what I give you, because it will lead to eternal life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and it will lead to everlasting life. It is so magnificently easy. That's what I love about the gospel. That's what I love about God's revelation. It is not for the intellectual, but for the faithful. Anyone can grasp it. In John 6, Jesus continues, then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus? They start to reason with their understanding and their experience. But is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven? It makes no sense. Our experience says something completely different. We know where he comes from. We know the house in which he was born. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father except he who comes from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now Jesus is speaking great mysteries. Jesus is speaking about the fact that he is the bread of life, and he will give his flesh, and whosoever eats of him will have everlasting life. Does that make sense to the audience? Is that easy to understand? Is that something common when Jesus speaks these words? No. It's a hard thing to understand. But when Jesus speaks here in verse 51, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. Anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. What was Jesus referring to? No, it's not a trick question. What was he referring to? He was referring to his sacrifice on the cross, was he not? How do we know that? How do we know that today? Because we kept on reading. We kept on reading. It is the word of God that declared the mysteries of God. It is the word of God that declared to us the meaning when Jesus speaks these things that was so hard to understand. Yet as a Jewish audience that are repulsed by the fact that Jesus is saying we must eat his flesh. What? Are you calling us to be cannibals? How can we eat your flesh? How hard and difficult it was to understand. Yet today, because we have the word of God, we know what Jesus is speaking of. Some of us know what he meant. Who of you believe what he meant? There's some hesitant hands. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who eats of me will have everlasting life. Who of you believe that? Who of you have experienced that? We know and experience because of the word of God. Because we have faith in his words. Because we have faith in what God says about life. We follow the path until we meet Jesus. Then our knowing becomes experience. It's from what we accept in our minds becomes a reality in our hearts. Because we have believed the very things that Jesus said. And we didn't stop. We didn't stop with the heart to understand. We didn't stop in our limited understanding. We didn't stop by our own experience. We kept our faith in what Jesus said until we met Jesus. He changed everything. We had faith in the Word of God. And we followed it to the source of life. And you know what is so beautiful about the Word of God? It leads to Christ. And Christ is alive. It's not a myth. It's not a theory. It's not a creed. Christ is more real than anything around us. He is alive. And if you follow the path, you will meet him. You will meet him. Because he is alive. And if you get stuck, if you get stuck on your way there, just continue to read. If you get to hard to understand places, if you get to hard to grasp your understanding and your experience, just keep following the path. Don't stop. Because if you keep following it, you will find him. And you will find everything that he promises. But in the absence of faith in Christ, in the absence of a relationship with him, what happens to these words? If you don't have faith in this, if you don't know who he is, in the absence of faith in what he says and in the reality of a relationship with him, you know what happens to this? It becomes lifeless. We see in verse 52, the very next verse, then the Jews, because they didn't have faith in him. Look what happened. Because they didn't have faith in his words and faith in him. What happened? Then the Jews, therefore, quarreled amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see what happened? If you don't have faith in this and if you don't know who he is, you know what this will lead to? It will lead to quarrels. People will have grand debates on what the meaning and the reality of these things is. Because they don't know him. If you know him, this makes all sense. But if you don't know him, this is, will always remain a mystery to you. But if you don't believe in this, if you don't follow this, you will never get to know him. But if you put your faith in this and follow this, you will get to know him. And then this becomes powerful. But they quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh? I'm not saying that I understand everything. I don't. I don't know all things, but I know the path that leads to it. And whenever I am confused, whenever I lack my understanding and my experience, you know what I do? I go back to the directions to find my path. And I stay on it until I find him. And when you do, everything makes sense. But you've got to stick to it. You know what? When I don't understand, when things are difficult around me, I go back, not to my experience, not to my lack of understanding. I go back to verse 53, the very next verse. It is so powerful. Then Jesus said to them, you must see, they say, they quarreled amongst themselves because this was so hard to understand. What does it mean? Then Jesus says we must eat his flesh. It makes no sense. And they were starting fighting amongst themselves. And then this following verse is so powerful. If you get this, you will get revelation. You will get to the source. The very next verse is very simple. Then Jesus said to them, the word of God was spoken. God spoke. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you. Not most assuredly, Andri say, Mario says, the Algemene Synode says, no, Jesus said. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, most assuredly, I say to you. In your confusion, in your quarreling, in your fighting, most assuredly, I say to you. The Word of God speaks. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You see what Jesus does? They are confused in their unbelief. Jesus does not rectify them. He makes it more difficult for them. They are struggling with this concept of bread of life that gives eternal life. And then he speaks about flesh and they're all confused. They're confused because they do not believe. And Jesus doesn't give them a simple answer. He leaves them in their folly and he makes it even more difficult for them. And then he goes on and he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life. For my flesh is food indeed and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Isn't that so powerful? But how offensive that must have been. Then Jesus said to them, who said that? Jesus. Not Andres, not Mario. No, Jesus did. The Word of God did. You know, the biggest challenge was not their lack of understanding. Because this was very hard to understand when Jesus spoke these words. Even his own disciples did not understand it. Their greatest challenge was not their lack of understanding. Their greatest challenge was verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me. And yet, you do not believe. It wasn't their lack of understanding, it was their lack of faith. They did not believe Christ. Then here in verse 60, it continues, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? This eating of flesh and drinking of blood, this is hard to understand. This is a hard saying. This is hard to accept. Jesus is saying we must eat his flesh. We must drink his blood. This is a hard word. This is hard to understand. Who can understand this? And then Jesus knew in himself that his disciple complained about this. Complained within themselves, this doesn't make sense here. This doesn't work like this. This doesn't make sense here. And then Jesus answered, does this offend you? Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That what I speak to you, this is life. What you experience here profits nothing. But what I speak to you is life. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Those who do not believe the words of Jesus will be those who will ultimately betray him. Those who do not believe in the word of God ultimately will be those who betray him. You see, today, one after the other, denominations fall as they embrace a different way. Jesus speaks into the midst of our experience, into this fallen, sinful, broken world. And what he says is hard to understand and challenging, and it even causes offense in this world. But Jesus says certain things about certain things that are very hard to understand and offensive and difficult to embrace. When Jesus says homosexuality is a sin, the world says, how can this be? And one after the other, denominations fall and they embrace same-sex relationships because it is offensive here and doesn't make sense here. And we put our own experience in this world above God's wisdom and God's ways. So one after the other, even in churches, we see denominations fall. When Jesus says, this is the way to life, we say, this cannot be. This cannot be. So we reinterpret what Jesus says. We change the meaning to mean something else that fits in this world. You must pray for our brothers and sisters in the Dutch Reformed Church. They're going through a very difficult time. Because many of their leaders have decided to change what Jesus says. They've decided this doesn't fit here. This is not a time for judgment and condemnation. This is a time to encourage them, to support them. There are many people that are struggling today because of a handful of leaders. You must encourage them, support them. Encourage them to stay on the path because it leads to eternal life. God's word and his way will always be a challenge, even an offense in this world. And it's not going to become easier. It's not going to become easier. This world is going to become more and more hostile to the truth. But you must stay the course. You must encourage one another to stay the course. Not because of what man says or what man thinks or what man experiences or what man understands, but because of God's word, his wisdom. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. No one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's word and his way will always be a challenge and even an offense in this world. But when you walk away from God's word, it will not be long before you start drinking from another fountain. If you start taking another path, it won't be long before you will serve another God. Or even worse still, a God of your own making. A God that you create that fits your image. It's called an idol. When we create a God for ourselves that we are comfortable with. Don't lose the path. Don't lose the path. And then finally, in verse 66. Whoever is no longer following the word of God is running the risk of missing God entirely. If you start to take the wrong path, and you continue in it, you run the risk of missing him completely. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Do you also want to go away?" And then Peter said these words. This is so powerful. And I want to end with this, as the ushers can help with communion. Jesus said, "Lord, whom shall we go to? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have also come to believe and know that you are the Son of the living God." How powerful is that? Peter says something powerful. Despite the offense and the confusing and everything that and everybody that is leaving your way, your words, your way of life, even though they're compromising and confused and quarreling, when Jesus says, "Are you also offended? Do you also want to go away?" Then Jesus says, "No. Where shall we go to? Only you have the words. Not Andries, not Mario, not the Algemene Synode. Only you have the words of eternal life. Only you." And then they say something so powerful, something that is so profound. It's mean this statement of faith is not just here in my head, it is in my heart. Because I not believe only that you are the Son of God. I know you are the Son of God. It is moved from my head to my heart. It has come from understanding to experience. And not only do I believe that you have the words of eternal life, I know you. I not just believe that you are the Son of God, I know you as the Son of God. Because I have faith in this, and this has led me to who you are. I want to encourage you, as you follow this, it will not just be understanding, it will be a knowing. I want to encourage you, do not leave the words of Christ. Do not change it. Do not reinterpret it. Just follow it. And you will get to the source. And when you know, you will be like Peter. You will say, "God, where shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Son of God." If you follow these words, Jesus spoke to those people about eating the flesh and drinking his blood. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. His disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying. But you know what is so powerful? Those who didn't understand, those who didn't believe, those who got offended, they all left Jesus. But those, despite of their lack of understanding, despite of their lack of experience, they chose to believe in him and remain with him. It wasn't long after that he sat down with them around a table. And you know what happened there? He took some bread and he took a cup. And then he said these powerful words. And I think it's here at the back in Matthew. Can I have some bread and some wine? Because they did not leave Christ. Because they were not offended. Because even though they didn't understand, they chose to believe what Jesus said. It wasn't long after, a year and a half later, that Jesus sat with them and open their eyes. We now know when we speak about the flesh and the blood what it means, because the Word has revealed it to us. I want to encourage you, if you're going through a season where you don't understand what is going on and you read the Word and it doesn't make sense to you, don't let go. Put your faith in Him. Don't be offended. Don't leave him. Trust him. Follow him. And it won't be long that he will sit with you and he will open up your understanding. Because when you meet Jesus, you know what? All things becomes true. All things become real. Every word, every promise becomes yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you, it wasn't long that Jesus sat with his disciples around the table and he took some bread and he broke it and he says, "This is my body. This is me that is broken for you. You feed on me, you eat of my flesh by having faith in the sacrifice that I make for you. And this is my blood that is shed for you. This is the new covenant. This is it. When you drink of this in faith, you're drinking all the provision that I've made for you. I have come down from the Father to be the perfect Lamb that is slain for the sin of the whole world. And whosoever believes in me and feeds on me will have everlasting life." It's not that this bread is special or this juice is. You buy it at Spar. This is nothing. This is nothing. But when you put faith in the Word of God, this becomes powerful. This becomes real. What it represents is a covenant with God for eternity. And if you have faith in Him and you drink of Him, you partake of this new covenant that leads, that is, and always will be eternal life. Do not give up on what He says. Keep on following Him until you find the source, and you will never hunger and thirst again. If you lose your way, go back to the directions and follow it, and you will find Him again. You will find life. Is there anybody that we passed with the bread? If you missed some bread, just raise your hand. Anybody we missed with the wine? There we go. Some wine, please. Cups. Do we have some more cups? Brunel, that one cup. I want you, while we're waiting, just to close your eyes. Just spend some time with Jesus. Just spend some time with the bread of life, the source of life. Just speak to Him. Just declare your faith in Him. If you're here today and you're hungry and thirsty, while your eyes are closed, you're hungry and thirsty for more of Him, just declare it. Just raise out your hand and say, "God, I'm hungry and thirsty for more." Just where you are. Just raise your hand. This is just to God. "God, I'm hungry and thirsty for more." Just respond on that need. If you're here this morning and you have lost your way, you have lost your way. You've started to follow other things and you know God is calling you this morning and you want to return to Him. You've lost your way. You're confused. You do not believe. You're offended. You are hurt. God is inviting you to come back to Him again. If that is you and you know you need to return to Him, just raise your hand and say, "God, here I am. I want to go back to You. I want to put my faith in Your Word again." Father, I thank You for all these hands. Just where you are, just speak to God. Say, "God, here I am. Father, I'm going to choose to follow You wherever You lead me." Father, I want to pray for those who have never tasted the source of life. You hear me speak about this source of life, this reality of God in you. And if you've never experienced that and you're saying, "Andres, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know this. I don't understand this, but I want this. I want this Christ that is alive. I want this Christ that is real. I want this eternal life that is like a fountain of living water that comes up from my innermost being. If that is you and you've never tasted that life and you want it today, I want to give you an opportunity to receive that today by just raising your hand and say, here I am, I want this life. If that is you, just raise your hand while all the eyes are closed. If that is you, just indicate here to God that I want this life. Is there anybody here? Thank you for that hand. See that hand. Is there anybody else? You can drop that, sir. Is there anybody else? Father, I want to thank you that you've given us your Son so that we can have life. Lord, thank you that you were willing to come into the darkness, into our pain, into our suffering, and become one of us. To suffer and to experience the way we do so that you can save us. Lord, I want to thank you that you gave your body that was broken for us, that became sin for us, so that through your punishment, we can be set free. We can be healed and restored into a relationship with God. Lord, as we eat together, we declare that we believe what you have done for us on the cross. Let's eat together. Lord, I thank you for this cup that is a symbol of the sacrifice that you've made for us. When you were in the garden, you said, my Father, if it's all possible, let this cup pass me by. But nevertheless, Father, not my will, your will be done. Lord, thank you that you were willing to bear this cup, to sacrifice, to spill your life, so that we can be partakers of a new covenant. Not of law, but of the Spirit. Of grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you that as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink this salvation that you gave us, Lord, as we put faith in what you say about your Son and the sacrifice in it, Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink this salvation that you have given us. Let us drink together. Thank you, God, for life. Lord, I pray that this flesh and this blood will become part of our bodies, Lord. As this drink and this food does, Lord, I pray that you will become part of us. Lord, I pray that we will never lose our faith in you, Lord, and that we'll always follow you until we see you, until we find you, until we experience you, until we drink of that water that will satisfy. Lord, I thank you that as we go from this place, that we will not be afraid or ashamed of what you say, but we will follow it. Until we find you, in Jesus' name, amen.